The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we welcome you back. Second half of the show is live. We are 1 hour away from getting some indicator from the Pac-12. Remember, they shut down on August 11th. They're expected to come back today, but when? We talked about that issue with John Wilner in the very first hour. Jeremy Pruitt, a contract extension. We'll talk about the Dogs in a couple of minutes as we get ready for the first weekend of college football in the SEC. Let's check in with Felicia, who is in Fayetteville. Good afternoon, Felicia.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for taking my call today.
Thank you.
There was a gentleman that asked a question that you were also interested in on why they're having the coaches wear masks.
Right.
Even when all the other players have been tested. When this first came out, it was related to age, that the coaches were in an age range where they would be at greater risk than the age of the players. And there's also the issue of that some of the players may be a little bit, you know, positive before the tests are done, how many ever times a week. So that is the rationale behind it, and is the age of the coaches and the necessity to keep them safer than they do the players.
Yeah, and I think as well, Felicia, it does transmit a positive image for fans if they see Nick Saban wearing a mask around a bunch of people. Maybe they will too.
Yes, absolutely. It is something we need to do more of in our country because it does play a part in that.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate it, and it's always good to hear from you. Greg, who is up next. Hey, Greg, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon, Greg.
I'm from Jackson, Mississippi. This is my first time calling. I love your show. I listen to you and watch you a lot.
Well, thank you, Greg.
And I really respect your opinion and how you come off, Paul. You know what I'm saying? I have a lot to say. I know it's a short amount of time, but I really respect how you come off and how you display your opinion. Because I'm a real big college football fan, and SEC is like, that's my cream. I love the SEC. But when I hear these SEC fans not want to support these black kids, all these black kids that play on all these SEC teams, I'm like, how do y'all not get behind us? As much as we love y'all, we come dap you up. I have friends that played on LSU teams and Mississippi State, and I go down a list of schools, and they show love when they go to these schools. They show love to these people and these fans. And then they come to your school, have a political issue, a problem with just normal abuse and treatment. We're not saying we're a perfect race of people. We're not saying that. But we just want normal treatment. And they don't get on board, just support us a little bit with that. We're not asking for anything unjust or unfair. But we come to your school. We could easily just say, we're going to go to HBCU and just deal with that. But we don't do that. We go because y'all have a bigger profile. Y'all have more money. So we do support you guys. And all we ask is to support back. Y'all want to support us back, that's all. It's an issue, and it's an obvious issue. It's not even a difficult issue to even see or understand. So I'm like, are we just going to blatantly overlook the fact that maybe a lot of these people are actually showing their real true feelings? Maybe they are a little racist. But I am a LSU fan. I am a Kentucky fan. But maybe I am. And I think they need to accept that, and we can accept that if you'll just go ahead on and say that. You know what I'm saying? That's how you are. That's who you are. Cool. We'll accept that and we'll deal with that. But don't want us to play for your school then if you don't want to respect our culture and who we are. Don't want us to play there. Why do you want us to even play there? If you don't like us and we have problems, you don't want to support us. We support you. I have white friends that went to these white schools. When they have a problem, I don't care if it's political, if it's social, I can call my friend Archie right now. I'm going to bag Archie unless it's something immoral or something like that. But if it's normal life, I'm going to support him because he's my friend. So that's all I'm saying is, why are these fans, the main ones with all these black young men on their team, black young women on their program, you ain't got our back of all people? Really? Should we all just transfer to HBCU because you don't want to support us too? I just feel slighted by the sports fans. That's my problem. The sports fans, really? We sweat for y'all. Come on, man. Show some love. Come on. That's all I want to say, Paul.
Thank you, Greg, and really do appreciate you calling in. How about Mark up next in Tennessee? Hello, Mark.
Hello?
Hey, Mark, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
This is Jason.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, Jason, go right ahead. We'll give you a new name.
I was going to ask, what you think about this Deion Sanders and his coaching staff in Jackson State?
Yeah, it's interesting because this is one of the most significant hires we've seen for a historic black school, and I think based on what we just heard from that other caller, I think some players are going to gravitate. I know he picked up a player from in-state yesterday, and I think Deion Sanders is going to attract players that normally would not have considered going to a school like Jackson State. And I think that's great. I really do.
I live over here close to North Allen, UNA. So, I mean, they play, I guess they're in the same conference. And I thought it was very interesting what he get Terrell Owens and Warren Sapp.
Well, you know, the one thing about Deion, my only concern about Deion is how committed he'll be after the cameras leave. But But hey, it's a really good, it's a great place. They have tradition down there, and not a lot, but enough. And I could see him really getting into that. I mean, that's good. I've covered that league before.
Form, or do you think it's a stepping stone into coaching?
Well, I do think it's a stepping stone. I mean, if Deion says that he'll be there his entire career, I'll be more than happy to make a wager. But I mean, there were some people that wanted Deion at Florida State last year. So I think if he does well, he could become a much desired coach. I mean, we have to see. I mean, first of all, he has to be able to show that he knows not only the game, but how to coach college football.
He's very he can draw the attention.
Listen, we had the Jackson State interim coach on a couple weeks ago, and he's certainly a nice guy. But you say Deion Sanders is coming up in a minute. People are going to pay very close attention. Thank you. And we've seen some of that in basketball, where some young players are saying, you know what, I want to play for a historic black school. I think because of the conversation in the country, you may see a little bit more of this. Maybe I'm not saying you're going to see a lot of players, but in basketball, it mattered. One player in basketball matters a lot more than a player in football, and I'm all for it. Early in my career, I covered Grambling a couple of times, and I got a really good education into the tradition of that I was covering the Mississippi Valley. I went with Coach Robinson, Eddie Robinson, over to Itabena one day to Mississippi Valley. But the SWAC is a really good league, and produced some unbelievable talent. Jerry Rice, just to start. Let's take a break. We have a lot to do on this program. We appreciate you all being here on a very busy day, where we are going to talk a little about the Georgia Bulldogs coming up here in a second. What's up with the quarterback situation? And what's up with some of their players trying to go elsewhere? Mike Griffith from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, he will join us next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back here, and let's talk about the Georgia Bulldogs, as their game might not be that difficult this weekend in Fayetteville. But what about the quarterback situation? It was about a week ago when Mike Griffith joined us with his feeling about who should be the starter. Mike rejoins us, a number of issues to discuss. Mike, always great to have you on. Let's start with the QB situation. What do you hear?
Yeah, you've got to be Dwan Mathis, Paul. I mean, if JT Daniels still isn't cleared this week, I mean, really last week if he wasn't cleared, you got to prepare with who you've got. Dwan Mathis and JT Daniels, very different style quarterbacks. So I think you're going to see Dwan Mathis under center, maybe some Carson Beck, maybe some Stetson Bennett, but likely Dwan Mathis, and quite a storybook start this will be, Paul, when you look at Dwan's background, the brain surgery, the flip from Ohio State. I mean, it really is something else the way this has played out.
Michael, let's take a deeper dive into this Georgia season. Everyone knows, or maybe not everyone, but some of us who have been around knows this. It has been 40 years ago since Georgia last won a national championship. The Dogs have come close. There's so much conversation about that with Kirby Smart as he faces a season where the media who voted thinks Florida is going to be the SEC East champion. I know you don't agree.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, Florida and Tennessee know that stat about the 1980 championship as well as anybody. It's been 40 long years. And actually, Paul, Georgia is going to break out some special uniforms for this game against Arkansas. They're going to try and hearken the ghost of Herschel Walker going back to the 16-15 Georgia win over Tennessee that started the 1980 national championship season for the Bulldogs when Herschel Walker ran over Billy Bates, one of the greatest Georgia memories ever. Of course, Herschel went on to this incredible career, rushed for over 5,000 yards. I mean, think about Herschel Walker just for a second. Let me just throw back for the old folks. This guy, 6'1", 222, he was running a 10-200 meters. He's faster than anybody on the current Georgia football team. And obviously, he did some great things, pro record 2,400 yards in the USFL. And Herschel's still looking like he could play the game, ultimate fighting, the bobsled stuff. I mean, such a storybook career for Herschel Walker. They're going to commemorate it, red pants, white jerseys at Razorback Stadium on Saturday.
Be hard to know which team's which. Griff, you're right. It is an amazing memory to see that. It's only been 40 years. We were both, well, you may not have been born yet. Let me talk to you about something that has, speaking of Tennessee, you know, the Cade May situation remains a topic of conversation. Otis Reese has been a topic of conversation. These are two young men who left Georgia to go to Tennessee and Ole Miss respectfully, and we have heard nothing but angst and anxiety from fans lately. What do you know about those two situations?
Yeah, understandable. You know, both these guys want to play football, Paul, and I understand that. The problem is that the ADs and the presidents from the SEC schools voted on this rule. I mean, every year they go down to Destin, they gather, they talk, they make rules, they make addendums to rules. This rule was last adjusted in 2018, just 2 years ago. And they all agreed that, hey, if you transfer within the league, you got to sit out for a season unless there's a postseason ban involved, right? There's a provision for that. None of those provisions apply to Cade Mays or Otis Reese or Joey Gatewood, the Auburn quarterback that wants to play at Kentucky this year. And so Greg Sankey is merely upholding the role that his ADs and his presidents voted on in Destin, Florida. And the sad part is, or maybe the unfortunate part is, I think in January we're going to see this passage of the one-year transfer rule where kids will have that ability to transfer without sitting out a year. But that's not going to happen until January. So it'll be interesting to see if Greg Sankey and the SEC make some special provision, and if so, would they need to get the vote of the presidents and the ADs to change their own rule that they voted on just in 2018.
Now, I know some fans have blamed Kirby Smart. He's an easy target here. I know the rule is the rule. Is there anything he can do, or is he overruled by the rule?
Yeah, Kirby Smart said yesterday that he doesn't have control of it. You know, and he said he has supported guys that have gone to schools with an opportunity to play right away. I know they've got Devon Wilson down there at Central Florida right now. It's really hard to know who said what. Georgia says they can't reveal a lot of the details. You know, Kirby got a lot bigger fish to fry than worrying about Cade Mays right now or Otis Reese. I mean, he's got this quarterback situation, Paul, and there's some real questions about where this Georgia offense is going to go. If they're going to win a national title, you know, they're going to need to see some things happen at quarterback. I mean, you know, Dwan Mathis, as you talked about earlier, this guy's raw. They're going to be somewhat limited against Arkansas. Now, he ought to be good enough to beat them, but, you know, this is a guy that was once committed to the Ohio State. And, you know, if it wasn't for Justin Fields transferring to Ohio State, we'd have a completely different script here. It was when Justin Fields started talking with Dwayne Haskins that Dwan Mathis flipped and said, you know what, I'm going to go to Georgia. And then he has that brain surgery May 23rd, and we think, well, this guy's, you know, he's not going to play college football. But here we are 16 months later, and Dwan's on the verge of starting, and we all sit back and wonder, could he be the guy? Or is the guy waiting in the wings in the form of JT Daniels? That's a completely other story.
Let's talk about the schedule and the Gators, because I alluded to it briefly that the media voted Florida to win the East. Whatever that means, doesn't mean much. But the Gators are obviously that key game, as always, on the Georgia schedule, which begins this weekend, and then it gets considerably harder with Auburn and Tennessee the next 2 weeks, then at Alabama, at Kentucky, Florida on the 7th, at Missouri, Mississippi State, at South Carolina, and Vanderbilt. Your thoughts on the Dogs and what lies ahead for them in spite of everything you just got through saying about the quarterback situation?
Well, you know, this is a year, you know, we talk about tradition starting out the year for Georgia and celebrating those uniforms, but this is a year where tradition could cost them. You know, Georgia's designated home game this year is Florida, but as of now, they're playing that game in Jacksonville. And, you know, I still think playing on the road's a little bit of a hurdle. Now, the home team doesn't have all the crowd and all that, but when you've got to fly somewhere and you've got to stay the night, I mean, that's just a bit more on you than staying in the comforts of the same home hotel and the familiarity. And this is a year now where Georgia really only has four home games because one of their home games is in Jacksonville. Conversely, Florida has five home games, plus they get to play Georgia in Jacksonville. Something to look for. I wonder if the Gators will bus over the day of the game, only being 70 miles away, or will they bus the night before? But could that little advantage make a difference? You would hope not. You would think not. But in a crazy season where Georgia's got four very difficult games leading up to it, Paul, listen, you don't have the margin for error that you had with Jake Fromm. You know, love him or hate him, the guy was a third-year quarterback that could make a lot of things right at the line of scrimmage. But now he's gone. So when you play the Tennessees and the Kentuckys and the Auburns, you don't have the margin for error that you had with an experienced quarterback. And Alabama, you better bring your best game to Tuscaloosa or you won't win that game.
So one of those home games the Dogs have, I think, is against what, Vanderbilt? I mean, Mike, I understand where you're coming from, but some would construe you as already making excuses in case the Dogs don't win.
No, I'm just laying it out for you. I don't even know if Vanderbilt will have a team by the end of November. They have so many guys opting out and the way the COVID crisis is going. I mean, think about it. If you're Vanderbilt and you haven't won a game yet, what's the motivation to come back for another season? It's certainly not the way your administration treats you with the facilities that they hand you or the priority that they make you. So I'm concerned about Vanderbilt. You think I'm not joking. I'm concerned about Vanderbilt finishing the season. But no, not excuses. I'm just saying if Georgia had their druthers, they would much rather have a backloaded schedule than a front-loaded schedule because this offense, I don't want to say it's Keystone Cops, but look, JT Daniels is a talented guy, all right? He had three 300-yard games his freshman year with the USC Trojans. Now, he had three different guys calling plays. It didn't go well. They were 5-6. I get it. But he started last year with almost 300 yards in the first half, well, drop pass, against Fresno State before that ACL. This is a guy, and I'll say this about transfers, Paul, because a lot of people say, well, if he's so good, why didn't he stay there? You know what? The last three Heisman Trophy winners, transfers. The three finalists for the Heisman Trophy last year, transfers. Sometimes you get it right the second time. JT Daniels had the opportunity to handpick Todd Monken, the Georgia offensive coordinator, and Todd Monken had the opportunity to handpick JT Daniels. So we have to see when and how this Georgia offense comes together, unless Dwan Mathis goes out there and Wally pips him and puts on an incredible performance, and at 6'6", 210, he runs a 10-800, and he can sling it downfield pretty far.
Mike, I don't know if you voted in the SEC media poll, but how would you cast your vote in the SEC East?
I abstained. I preferred to stay objective on this. I did not vote. I would have picked Georgia to win the East, but not because I think they're that much. I just don't think Florida's that good. I look at Florida, and I understand Maybe these other people like their uniforms or something. I don't know. Kyle Trask is coming back. There's some continuity with Dan Mullen and Kyle Trask. But he lost, what, three or four senior receivers. He lost his starting tailback. They returned their offensive line, but their offensive line was lousy. They had negative rushing yards through three quarters against Georgia last year, and I'm not sure why I would think that Florida's going to do any more this year. Now, they're talented. They're getting better, but I just don't see it in Florida. So it's not that I'm picking Georgia because they're just head and shoulders, especially, again, with this offense and this front-loaded schedule. It's because I'm not convinced Florida is going to be that much better than they were a year ago.
Asked and answered, as they say in court. Mike, thank you. We'll hope to talk to you again very, very soon, if hopefully next week. Appreciate the time, as always.
Appreciate it, Paul. Thank you.
Great stuff. You got it. Mike Griffith with the zinger at the end toward the Gators. Heather Dinich in about an hour on what the Pac-12 could be doing today. They may be coming back. We are going to get back to your calls as well right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
And welcome back here Thursday afternoon, and Augie is in New Orleans. What's up, Augie?
Paul, I did not know that you checked up on your callers. So if you don't hear from folks in a while, what do you send out, a search party or an APB or a BOLO?
BOLO.
Okay. Be on the lookout. I thought a BOLO was something you threw in your, you know, threw at somebody and wrapped it around their head. But number six most influential person in the SEC. Do you take your responsibility seriously, Paul?
Yeah, I kind of chuckled when I read that the other day, but I take this show seriously. I don't know about that, but I do take this one very seriously.
Well, I think you were undercut by some of the people that were in front of you, so I think you're at least, you should be behind Saban. I don't have any doubt about that. There you go, I'm sucking up. But how do you plan on exercising your power in the interest of your fan base?
Augie, I don't want to sound like a politician here, but to me, this program is really based and built on fans. That was the genesis of the idea to take a local show and put it here. And there was a lot of backlash at first because of where I previously lived. But I think we've succeeded. We're 7 years in now, and. Or 6 years in, excuse me, and I think this program is the embodiment of SEC fans. So I think the only thing I can do to screw it up is get in the way.
Well, you know, a lot of your old followers hate people like me. I'm a interloper and an encroacher. So there you go. But you know, yesterday I do have something to criticize you on. You didn't develop the washer, dryer, and refrigerator conversation with Jeff, because I'm in need of replacements for all three, and I was waiting for a recommendation. Other than Samsung, do not buy Samsung. They're terrible.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I think we used to go down to Sears and Roebuck and get my mother would say she would walk into the Kenmore. Remember the Kenmore refrigerator?
Kenmore. Yep.
My mother would walk in and say, "What do you have on sale?" I mean, that's I never went to a store with my mother where that wasn't the first question.
Remember Montgomery Ward?
Oh yeah, I do remember Montgomery Ward. That is going way back.
Well, Paul, what's with all the Canadians calling in and commentating on U.S. domestic issues? What's that about? I mean, they got Justin Trudeau. Don't they have enough to talk about on their own?
Yeah, they're on their second Trudeau. We'll see if this one screws up the country as much as Pierre did.
Paul.
Was it Pierre Trudeau, though, that dated
Mick
Jagger's wife or ex-wife?
Yes, Bianca.
Yeah.
Yep. You're sure right. I bet you I-Man knows about that.
He did. He did get my appreciation on that. I don't think Pierre has been able to top that one.
No, but nobody can top Silvio Berlusconi and his bunka parties. This guy's like 70 years old, partying with 19, 20, 21-year-old girls. I mean, geez. And he's the prime minister of Italy. He fits the mold.
Yeah, who was it, Sarkozy? The French presidents married a supermodel, but... Yeah, but he was young. I mean, the guy was only in his, like, 50s. He wasn't 85.
Now Marcone has a wife that's 65, I think.
Yeah, you're right. He went to, the new president of France just went the opposite direction.
But, Paul, I think your last caller, your last guest, he was talking about, he was worried about Vandy finishing the season. Did they finish last season?
They haven't finished any season in recent years.
Which brings me to a topic that you don't like to talk about, but hey, you're the sixth most influential man in the SEC. Which coach has the shortest shelf life right now? Is it Muschamp? Is it Mason? Or do they just spot Mason because Vandy's just terrible?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Vanderbilt cares enough about football to make a change.
So who do you think is the guy that's got the most to worry about this season? Considering that we think this season really is valuable.
I think the answer is nobody. Because I don't think, unless we see just something disastrous, that there will be an appetite primarily to make a change or pay the termination fee, the buyout. And that's really the issue with Muschamp. He still has a significant buyout. I-Man, mentioned a minute ago, on the air now.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon.
To comment on Augie's thing and your comments, if I'm not mistaken, I think Mick was hitting on Pierre's wife long before Bianca ever came into the picture. I think that's the way the story goes.
I think when you get to Mick Jagger, I've read the Keith Richards book. There was a lot of that going around, okay?
There was a lot of it going around. That's a hell of a book, too.
And it was.
A pretty thick book, too. About the washer and dryer and the refrigerator and that kind of thing, I've been hearing a lot of commentary about how well the economy is. Now, I've had a great year. This is one of the better years for the economy, being down on working class people. But it's not because the economy is so great. It's because stuff is breaking and people are stuck at home and they're just having to do what they have to do.
You're right.
And the shortage of washers and dryers and refrigerators has nothing to do with the economy. It has everything to do with COVID because all these plants shut down and all the manufacturing was cut down. We're having a tough time right now trying to put together enough systems to go in and install in houses, and it's because of the production was shut down. Nothing to do with the economy. And I will take some issues with some stuff I heard yesterday. I mean, I was listening to a caller talking about Jim being the franchise quarterback. To hell with that. I don't recall Jim being in any meetings. If I was going to say, who was your franchise quarterback? Who did you lean on the most and was a pair? And you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, he was Mr. 4 o'clock.
Mr. Pat Smith. And he was always there. And
well, yeah, well, Pat, well, for those who don't know Pat, he now is hosting the midday show with in Birmingham. I mean, Pat Smith, who was the producer of the show for 20 some odd years, he created the show. He's the one that came up with the idea. And it was his idea to make it more than a local show. I thought it was insane that anybody outside of Birmingham would ever listen.
Out of all the times I met you prior to the SEC Network, I never saw you without Pat or Pat without you. Y'all were a team, and you were a hell of a team. And when it comes to the most influential man in the SEC, Mike Slive hired that guy first. He hired that guy, and ESPN hired you because if they didn't, you know what? They were going to have to compete against you. And you were a mountain of boulders that they could not go through. They had to go around. And that's not sucking up. That's just telling it like it is. Those are the facts. And then the relationship with you and Mike Slive is what it is, and it's because you're good at what you do. And you include the fans, and I think he respected you immensely. And I also heard Jim mention something yesterday that I've never heard before. He said he was depressed. Well, to hell with that comment, too. He was damn delusional. That's what he was. Now, you have a good day, War Damn Eagle.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are going to take a break here on this program. It's Thursday, and Heather Dinich in the next hour. I'm just reading what the cue card says. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back in Elmo is a call. Hey, Elmo, good afternoon, my man.
Hey, well, I'm not shut in, but I'm shut out.
I'm glad to hear. It's always good to hear from you.
I heard all these all-stars calling today, so, you know, I had to drop in and say hello. Appreciate you straightening out Matt from Jack in the Box yesterday. I've been listening to Mad Child call this show for 4 years, talking shade about A&M with that stupid questions and all that. Sick of it.
I keep up with some of your comments. You're quite a good ombudsman. What's that?
Calls in every day.
Yeah.
Usually the first call of the day. Now this guy originally called in and said he didn't know who Russ Probst was, and here is a guy living in Valdosta that's only 50 miles from Moultrie and don't know who Russ is. This guy needs to do some background or whatever the hell. But anyway. Paul, let me just get my brief complaint out of the way.
Please.
I hate the screening. Anybody and everybody can get on. I don't know why that is the case.
Well, let me say this to you. We had someone who did that for a long time on the show, and that person is away for the time being. So it is a little bit different, but I hear you. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And if we're going to start talking about really good callers, let's try to find Jimmy from Chicago.
Yeah, I don't know where Jimmy is. Jimmy was a regular. He has been missing.
Yeah, too many people calling in here talking nothing.
Now, let me ask you a question, Elmo. When was the first time you called
like it? Albie, you
when, when was the first time you called the show?
Pardon?
What year was your first year calling the show?
Well, I have no idea, Paul.
Can you remember that far back?
On air.
I mean, I really don't remember a time on the show where you weren't calling.
Well, maybe I need to call again, like Legend was talking about. But let me get to what I wanted to talk about. There's a lot of people calling in today, and they're jumping up and down about SEC football. And, you know, it's going to be like the good old days. No, it's not. They haven't done a lot of practice. it's going to be shocking to a lot of people.
Really?
How it all goes down. And you've tried to tell people that, and God knows Cole Kublik has tried to tell people that. You know, most people that are real know that the football that we're going to see Saturday is going to be kind of shocking. It's going to be unreal. And that's chiefly my complaint about this whole upcoming season, Paul, and kind of like my attitude about baseball and basketball. I've got to admit, the NFL football has been very, very good.
I agree.
That I can sustain myself on that, definitely to the end of the year. But the problem for me overall is there's a fakeness and an artificiality to the whole thing, especially without the crowds. And for years, Paul, I always talked about, I really thought that football was going to go to some level where the football teams just wind up on a sound stage and they just pipe everything in. And I've discovered with this season and with the impact of COVID and everything that I really don't want to see that in the future. I want to see an honest-to-God cheering crowd. So, yeah, that's my view before I start.
Let me ask you this, Elmo. I think, you know, what you said may be true. I don't know. None of us are going to know. I do think it will be different, but shouldn't we embrace it? I mean, why should we be against what we're about to see?
Well, I understand that it's better than nothing, but, you know, the college football up to this point, of course, it's not the big boys, these mid-majors and what have you, and, of course, nothing impressive about the ACC except Clemson. That's all been, most of those football games have been simply horrible. That's why the NFL has been such a godsend on Sunday. I could see myself being a big-time pro football fan for the rest of the season. I don't have any expectations about Alabama. Alabama has always been my team. But I'm one of the contrarians, Paul, before I let you go, is that I honest to God think there will be an asterisk behind everything. It's just not real. Paul, I'm going to call you again. Talk to you again, too.
Well, Elmo, we've talked for many, many years. I always enjoyed seeing you
I can remember, Paul, how 20? I want it to be one of those days where, you know, a bunch of old timers call in and, you know, shout you down.
Well, we'll dedicate a show to the originals. Hey, thanks, Elmo. Good to hear from you. We have to go to a break. We are coming back with another hour, including an update on the Pac-12. They're about to convene a meeting of the presidents. Heather Dinich will join us shortly.